The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And join me on the podcast and on video, it's John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel in his eclectic stroke chaotic office there, John. You're all right, fella?
Yes, all right. Yes, it does need a tidy up. I'll admit to that.
Well, it's like, collections from around the world. You've got everything in there, from a Concorde to books to African artifacts. It's everything. That's like the inside of your mind, really, John. It's stories of your travels, isn't it, really?
Indeed. And I can tell you a story. There's a dummy shell behind me, artillery shell, which is called a wombat. And I bought another one so I could have one on each side of the fireplace the other day. And the guys who were shipping it to me, They put it on a pallet, and then they put a box on the top that said that effectively said live ammunition. So somebody looked at this in a warehouse and said, that's a bit of a problem. We're not moving it. And they had to call a bomb disposal expert in of some sort before they would pick up my pallet.
Oh, did that push up the shipping costs or not?
Thankfully, Pallet Online were very good about it. They didn't charge extra.
It's not live though, is it?
No, it's just wooden with a brass end.
What are you talking about? They mislabeled that, haven't they? It's not live at all.
So, yeah, exactly. It's extremely non-live. Yes.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted, live ammunition lying around my house.
Dead as a dodo. There we are. Okay, let's look at some macro news. The story of the day, really. On my futures chart here, let me just show you this. On my futures chart here, let me just get rid of that there so I can see my head in the way. Sorry, let me move this. That's gold. Let me get rid of the RSI. We don't need that for now. That's gold. Look at that. It did touch that line there. It's 2,600 futures, gold, 2,600 in gold. Look at gold price, up like 31% in the last year. It's putting Bitcoin to shame. Everyone said, oh, Bitcoin's the new gold. Bitcoin's been going sideways down, pretty much. Gold's been going crazy. What's the reason for this, John?
Well, gold has always been the kind of ultimate store of asset value. But in today's financial world, when things are when financial markets are moving, when there are seismic shifts going on, people move assets out of one currency into another, but they tend to park it in gold for a while before they move on. And gold just goes down once in a while, but generally it's on an upward path. It tends to go higher with inflation. It tends to go higher with a weaker US dollar. It's because people around the world fundamentally want to own gold, and if they're really worried about, let's say, the local banking system in China or potential for financial collapse in Russia, then they go out and buy a bit of gold because gold's so easily tradable, and they may buy gold in futures form, in physical form, in jewelry. There's many different ways you can buy it, by gold ETFs. But each one of those things drives up the price of gold.
Yeah, like your handful of sovereign rings that you wear. You got a load of sovereign gold rings on you, John.
I do not wear a chain ring.
I also, do you know what? Like I said, it is, I think, largely inflation and the devaluation of the dollar. Because do you know what? This morning I was looking at, I do a macro news podcast. And this morning I discovered, you know, the American $35 trillion in debt. Do you know how much money they're spending now daily on interest alone? This is not repaying the capital, interest alone. Have a guess how much they spend on a daily basis.
Well, I should know because I was writing about it in our morning note this morning.
Well, it's right. Well, forgive you though.
Per day.
Early onset Alzheimer's. But listen, yeah, $3 billion in interest every day. Every day. That's so unsustainable. I mean, next Wednesday, the Fed are going to reduce interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point. I think that'll be the start of what's going on. But even if they reduce it by 1%, they're still only down to like 2.5 billion interest a day. So and 35 trillion it's mind blowing, the numbers, isn't it? I'll give you an example of how much a trillion is. Say you have one unit, which is a second, right? And then you had a trillion seconds. That's 31,000 years, a trillion seconds.
That's crazy.
31,000 years. So that's how big a trillion is. And they got 35 trillion in debt. that is phenomenal. It is worrying, isn't it?
And this is why we think that interest rates are going to come down, not just in the US, but for all the countries that have taken on lots of debt. The UK included. We pay a huge amount on our own national debt. We need to reduce the cost of that borrowing. And it's not just national debt. You know, property markets are very important, particularly in the West. Okay, prices, it always feels like prices are too high in property. But the problem with falling property markets is it creates lots of other financial problems. So governments make lots of money from people buying houses. And the more houses they buy, the more money the governments make. So by reducing interest rates, you help younger people get on the property ladder. You help older people upgrade their properties, either through extension or through buying bigger houses. And the government benefits enormously from that. So it's a bit of a win-win on many, many levels. Although I personally don't really agree with high property prices, but I can see why governments do it.
Oh, I do. I'm a house owner. I'm a homeowner. It is nuts. I mean, they're spending just on interest alone, I think. I think it was like they're spending more now just on interest payments than they are on the healthcare system and education and all that. So it's mad. Anyway, let's talk about individual stocks, John, while we're here. I've got your thing. Let me just get your little... thing up. So we got a couple of, I don't want that. Sorry, messed around there. So first and foremost, by the way, is there anything happening in China? There's always stuff happening in China. I know that, but here we are.
Well, there is always stuff. The government is raising the retirement age.
We should do that over here, shouldn't we?
I thought we'd done it over here, haven't we?
We need to do it again.
We've done it a couple of times.
When you think of it, retirement 65, right? This day and age, you know, that was set. I mean, it was 63 before or something. But, you know, years and years ago, the average life expectancy was about 70, you know. And so you get 5 years of retirement money and then you die, you pop your clogs. Now it's 80, 85. And in fact, people who are like in the 20s now can expect to live by 85 easy. So you've got 20 years of retirement money. And so it ballooned the cost of that. So just up it, you know, increase it. You know, people are if you're not working, unless you've got something to do after you retire, you'll die anyway. If you've got no purpose in life, so you may as well up it and say, you know, do something else, do another job or whatever, you know. But anyway,
funny enough, I know someone who's doing a PhD at Oxford on this very subject on how to assess people's, healthcare. In older age groups, because you're right. As you become less active, less mobile. Things tend to go downhill.
Yeah. So China, though, had one of the youngest retirement age. It was at 60. They've put up to 63 now for men, haven't they? I think and 55 and to 58 for women. So that's quite young.
Yeah, they've gone to 63 from 60. Yeah.
They're less healthy, though, I suppose. They are big smokers still. A lot of them smoke and they eat nonsense, don't they? Rubbish.
Well, I don't know. I'm not convinced they have that bad. They do a lot of, shall we say, group yoga and whatever the activities are. It's not all bad.
No, it can't be all bad. Otherwise, it wouldn't get past 20. Individual. Let's go alphabetical. So you've got Atlantic Lithium here. What's happening there? Look at the share price on that. I was looking at lithium price. It's still struggling, lithium price, isn't it? It's not going anywhere.
We're very close to Atlantic Lithium. We act as nomad and broker. And, they got their EIA, their environmental permit from the Ghanaian government this week. And that's good. It's not the last permit they need, but it's a very important one. And this is telling us that this mine will get fully permitted very soon. We would hope that they'll start building it by the end of the year. We would hope that they could start producing spodumene from it sometime next year. And we feel that the lithium market is on the turn. And there's some good reasons for that. Not only are we now seeing spodumene prices tick back up again, which always say lithium carbonate prices tick back up again. I think spodumene prices will follow that. And yes, there are concerns about the electric vehicle market and how many vehicles people are going to buy next year. And we're confident that the world will buy more electric vehicles next year than it did this year, probably 20% more, shall we say. Yes, there's a bit of extra surplus lithium in the world, but some of the higher cost mines have now shut down. CATL shut down two of their higher cost mines this week, where they announced that. But the thing that I think a lot of people are not really aware of is that if you're building a solar farm, this is, a farm of solar panels, you can't always sell the electricity for much money. So the thing to do if you have a solar farm is to put in a battery pack. Normally, the guys who run these solar farms put in lithium-ion battery packs. And we're not talking little ones. We're not talking the Tesla Powerwall that you stick on the side of your house. We're talking much, much bigger units. And then they're able to store that power that they would have got paid nothing for during, at certain points in the day, and then release that into the grid when the grid really wants it for maybe 10 times, I'd say 10 times the price, 10 times nothing is clearly nothing, but a lot, but for a much more sensible electricity price. That solves a problem for the grid. It also creates extra revenue for the guys running the solar farms. Given that there are hundreds of gigawatts of these things being built at the moment, the number of battery packs and the scale of those battery packs is going to be off the charts. In fact, we don't even know where all the materials are going to come from to make all those battery units. Now, yes, there'll be some other technologies that come in. People will use sodium ion, people will use vanadium, redox. There's quite a lot of different technologies. But I still think at least half of these grid-scale battery packs will be using lithium-ion batteries. Now, we know China has a surplus of gigafactories, and we're also pretty sure that some of those gigafactories aren't very good. Although I would point out that if you have an electric vehicle, the chances of it catching fire spontaneously are so low. I mean, it's literally a tenth of having an electric bicycle that catches fire, and it's a hundredth. It's almost a hundredth of having an internal combustion engine that catches fire. Although I think normally those fires are the result of something going a bit wrong. But the point is that lithium ion is getting better and better, but there are probably a few dodgy factories out there.
Yeah. On a survey one, I'm considering having solar panels on my roof, and I've done the calculations and looked at it. And I will be paying no electricity, pretty much. And it's one of those things where, try and cut your outgoings down. And I'm looking into having a battery as well, because that's a way of storing it or sending it back in the grid. Like, say, you can get the app with this supply will tell you the best time to sell it back into the grid and all that kind of stuff, So, and if that's just, not just me doing that, times me by 1,000 people. And, it's not industrial scale, but you realize the sentiment and the thinking on this is going that way, isn't it?
Yeah, and it will help the government a lot, because they won't have to increase the the network capacity that much. So, you know, they won't have to upgrade the power lines in quite so many places. So it's a bit of a win all round.
Yeah. Okay, so you think Atlantic Lithium, it's a play on that. I mean, if you look at that, the lithium price is pretty much similar to that. So as soon as lithium prices start, you know, stabilizing and start rising, Atlantic Lithium would be a good play because, like I said, they're not actually producing any lithium yet. But when they do, maybe the lithium price will be going higher. Next. ATM, Andrada. What's happening with Andrada?
Well, Andrada, it was called Afritin, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
They mine this relatively low-grade tin mine, but they produce tin. It's good. They're an operator. But they also have a bit of lithium there. And SQM, which is a big, big lithium producer in Chile, has decided it's going to participate in that. And it's spending $500,000 to start with, followed by another $1.5 million and an option to invest another $20 million. So they're clearly looking at supporting Andrada, and that is no bad thing.
Mm, yeah. What was that announced a few days ago? Because the gap up here on this news, was that a few days back, was it?
Well, it's good news. I mean, it's...
Yeah. When was that? A few days back, was that announced? Yeah.
That was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, you can see the gap up in the chart there. So it went from 3.17... and it opened up the next day at 3.44 and it's continuing to rise a little bit. Okay, next list is BTO. Now, it's delayed. Is this Canadian? They're called B2 Gold. What's that, what's that about?
Well, look, B2 Gold, they're a good quality gold company, but we're not going to talk about that really. They've managed to get an agreement.
Canada. Is that Canada?
They are listed in Canada, yes.
TSX.
Yeah. And they were the Bema Gold team that were highly successful, and now they're B2 Gold. In fact, there's another company they're involved with called BE Metals, where I hold shares, but that's drilling for copper in Zambia. B2 Gold have announced they have reached agreement with the government of Mali on their Fekoa gold project. Now, the reason this is important is the government of Mali, or should we say the junta, the military government of Mali, kicked the last bloke out because I think there were some corruption allegations, as there are in these places. They are planning on the government is planning on becoming a democratic government again at some point. But what they did was they insisted that all projects in the country would have to upgrade to a new mining regime. And that new mining regime is extremely punitive from a financial perspective. In fact, it goes from, normally you give the government a 10% free carry. That's worked very well in Mali. So the government becomes a partner. But this new regime means you go up to 20 to 30% free carry, which is unacceptable. But what they've said with B2 Gold is you can, look, we're very happy with you guys. You can stay on the old regime. We're not going to worry about it. So they're staying on the previous 2012 mining code. That's important because if the read across to other guys that work in Mali is that actually, so long as you've kept your nose clean, you've not gone around upsetting anybody, which most people don't, then you will be fine. And they're not going to retrospectively change the fiscal regime for your company. So, for example, Kodal Minerals, which we are broker to, they seem to be operating perfectly happy on the previous regime that they agreed with the previous government. Same with Resolute Mining, which has the Sayama gold mine. We don't expect Resolute to have to upgrade to the new regime. We think they'll be perfectly happy operating on the old one. So there are certain companies which have upset the government and where the government is holding their feet to the fire and giving them a hard time. For example, we understand that Mark Bristow, who operates Barrick Gold these days, has been summoned to Mali on a number of occasions, made to wait, and not got the meeting that he was looking for. So you know they know how to show their displeasure once in a while, very important to maintain cordial relations with these guys.
But how do you operate in a country like that, though? It's just ridiculous. They can't have one, you know, different rules for different companies. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you say that, isn't it? It's all about respect. If you respect these, you know, these guys, they will respect you. So it's
it's inconsistent anyway. How, I mean, you need a rule and law, and then if you're giving favours to some, that's corruption itself, isn't it? If you're giving sort
well,
of
look at the UK, I mean,
companies.
But look at the UK. The our new government is changing the rules on North Sea licences for oil and gas.
Yeah.
So I don't think we behave any better than any of these.
But that's
Western
been that's
countries.
Been flagged for a while, though, isn't it? I mean, they clamped down globally, clamped down on fossil fuels. As you know, it's nothing new. I mean, there's been money outflow from fossil fuels for a long time, and so you know, investors should be aware that there'll be no new money flowing into fossil fuels for a long time. And if you
remember, Margaret Thatcher suddenly imposed a windfall tax on North Sea oil, and she killed off investment into the North Sea for a long, long time. And I think we're seeing something a bit similar at the moment coming out of out of our new government. So I'm not being political in this. I'm just stating that.
I know, but that was 40 years ago. And let's be honest, we've known that Labour are, you know, pros to renewables, and so we knew this was coming in, and it started happening with the Conservative government anyway, because we're all trying to fall in line with this net zero, you know, threshold timeline.
We love renewables, and you won't find anyone else who loves renewables more than me. But it doesn't mean you have to kill off the oil and gas that
no,
that,
I understand
that we
I,
also
I agree
use
with that.
In this country.
I agree with that, and I think you know as it is. Well, I think they are. I think GB Energy now is going to be headquartered in Aberdeen, isn't it? But the people who are being you know shouldn't just be kicked out. They should be retrained, and you know, if possible, on the same kind of you know wages and salaries they were on if the government hadn't changed rules, because certainly they'd still be working there. You know, earning decent salaries unless the rules are changed. But I mean, like I said, it has to be flagged. This is not like a military coup happening and then the military and then the junta saying, you know, we'll give you guys a nice to keep you on the old one. You we're not going to do that. I just think it's really bizarre. Anyway, what's next? I just find that's the risk and reward, I suppose, operating in Africa, parts of Africa. What is this? So next is, sentiment.
Well, this is big news.
Oh, look at that gap up. Look at that. That's a big gap up there.
Yeah, they received a takeover offer for $2.5 billion from AngloGold Ashanti. That's quite big news in anyone's world, to be perfectly honest. With the rise in gold price, and we've seen a new all-time high earlier this morning in gold trading in London. You already quoted that futures price. $2,600 an ounce, and the gold miners are throwing off cash. Suddenly, having had a really tough time over the last 5 years, they are in cheese, and they've got so much cash they don't know what to do with. But AngloGold Ashanti know what to do with it. They want to have some more of it. They want to stay. They want to remain as one of the world's biggest gold producers, alongside Newmont and Barrick and Agnico Eagle and that lot. And they're running around buying things. So we actually think there's a good chance that someone else will come in and trump that offer. It looks more than likely. Barrick and Newmont will definitely be running their slide rules over it. We think this is a very good price, especially with the gold price carrying on going higher. The other miners got loads of cash. They don't like sitting on that much cash. So it's a question of how much do they dividend out and how much do they spend on acquisitions and building new mines. So, yeah.
And what's the average, all-in sustaining cost of companies? Right? 1,000, 1,200 quid at the moment with inflation? Yeah. And what is it? So
I couldn't tell you what the average is, but I would have thought somewhere around $1,000 an ounce, yeah. It'll be higher for the all-in sustaining cost, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe 1,200.
I see gold continuing its run. I think gold's going to have one of the best runs it's ever had. I say $3,000 an ounce. That's what I think it's going to, honestly, over the next couple of years. I think it's going to run like crazy. When you start getting this momentum and you get so global uncertainty, you get interest rates down, and maybe it's, you know, inflation more down as, you know, it has done a bit, but it'll be a bit spiky, and I think this will just push gold prices up. And as interest rates going down, global economy is slowing down, I think it'll just a massive run. I think gold's on huge run, John. Anyway, what's next? Let's look. So we got what's this? Is this Orosur? My Orosur.
Well, Orosur. We are nomad and broker to this one. They have successfully reacquired the Anza project in Colombia. Now it's a nice project, but It sort of fell between the wayside because Newmont and Agnico Eagle was a joint venture partner in this project, and they got taken over. So, well, shall we say the previous owners took over the project? So it's one of those things. It's fallen out of the gaze of the majors, and that's Orosur's opportunity to pick it back up again. So. It's a nice project. Yes, there's the agreement means that these guys retain 1.5% net smelter royalty on it, and that's fine. But I think this is Orosur's key asset. This is something for them to push ahead with. Yes, it's exploration. Yes, there's always a load of risk involved with these things, but it's nice to see the asset come back to Orosur, where in my view it belongs.
Hmm. Colombia update. Yeah. Okay. Obviously, did a nice rise there. And that was the news. I mean, it's down. If you look at a longer term chart, it is down trending. So, God, look at that. And back in 2020, it shot up to 45 pence a share. It's now, even with that 40% rise of the day, 45% rise on the 10th of September, it's still only 3.55 pence a share. So it's down from 45 pence a couple of years ago. But nevertheless, I suppose some welcome relief to certain shareholders.
This quite often happens with junior exploration companies. A major comes in, has a look, then something happens at the major company. There's a takeover or some major event. And what happens is the major decides to focus on other things, and all these exploration projects just get dropped. But it is to the advantage of the junior companies in many cases.
Yeah. Okay. Next on the list is Power Metals. What's happening there, Johnny Boy?
They signed a letter of intent with a Saudi Arabian miner on exploration. It's on the Al Masain Al Kobra mining. Well, that's who it's with, Al Masain Al Kobra. Power Metals is going to spend $3 million to earn a 49% stake in the Qatar exploration license. So they are expert at exploration. The Saudis want to do much more of that and get into the exploration game. So, yeah, we will see what happens, but it's nice to see these things coming along. It's all good news. So it's nice. It's just good to see more happening at Power Metals. I mean, they've always had a lot going on, but it's nice to see even more, because the more times you roll the dice, the more chances are you have of actually being successful and creating value for shareholders. And we do act as nomad and broker there, so just to say that.
Okay, all right. And Sarabi, did we just cover that? No, we didn't. Look at that, Sarabi.
Well, I threw that in because Sarabi are doing good things. They cut their costs and they're delivering strong performance. It's
reflected in the share price. Look at that. It's gone from, if it's September last year, it's a year ago, it was at like a 20 pence. It's now 80 pence a share. Wow. What's the market cap on Sarabi now then? It's 58 million. So it's still not massive. But
yeah, Sarabi, a good little gold miner operating in the middle of Brazil. They reckon they'll do 38,000 to 40,000 ounces of gold this year. And of course, with the rising gold price, That's fantastic for these guys. I mean, they are highly leveraged. They've got this second mine called Coringa. I went to visit the Palito mine many years ago, and they make it work. I mean, it's not always easy operating out there in the middle of the Amazon rainforest, but it does work, and they do a much better job than the artisanal miners that work in that region. So we should be supportive of what they do.
Yeah. And finally, Sovereign Metals, SVML's ticker. It's had a little bit of a breakout. It's rallied up. It's come back a little bit, but it's still above this previous resistance.
So they had an interesting week trading-wise. I mean, there was no specific news. I mean, yes, they do have Rio Tinto as a major investor in there, and Rio Tinto did increase their stake a little while ago. But somebody had a clumsy sale of stock in the week. It then triggered a load of stop-loss selling. And we are aware of shall we say, how this occurred. We don't know who the seller was. It wasn't not necessarily a particularly big seller. Mm-hmm. And certainly not responding to any news that any of us are aware of. So the ASX the Australian Stock Exchange, where they're also listed, insisted they put out a statement to say if they knew of anything that any reason for the shares to trade in this way. They, of course, came out and said they were aware of absolutely nothing. They were conforming with all the codes, et cetera, et cetera. So we reiterated that. And just to say, look, guys, there's nothing to worry about here. We think this. We think it's all going in the right direction. We were looking desperately for news in Malawi to see whether there was something wrong going on there or whether there's something wrong in the market for rutile. No trouble in any of, you know, in any of those quarters. So as far as we're concerned, it's a buying opportunity. I will add that we are a broker yet again.
Well, it's only down 26% from its high. It's not, I mean, for a, you know, for a resource stock, it's not a lot. What's the big fuss about?
Well, it shouldn't be down at all. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the market for rutile. You know, okay, all these markets came off a bit through the summer. The Chinese seem to hold back on buying, but it looks like the Chinese are back in the market buying commodities again, and that there's perhaps they're, you know, the destocking cycle has perhaps is either over or is reduced, and the restocking is starting again.
Who knows what the Chinese are doing? Who actually knows? Nobody really knows what the heck the Chinese are up to. I mean, they're trying to stimulate somehow. They're trying to do everything to help their economy. But, you know, I suppose, you know, who knows?
But what we do know is Chinese exports are up to the rest of the world. The Chinese imports, I'm not sure about the imports, the Chinese economy locally, certainly in places like Shanghai, is not looking good. So the President Xi spent a lot of time and focus on state enterprises and helping those guys. It's been huge focus on electric vehicles and gigafactories, and that's the whole supply chain there. But there's been very little support for private enterprise, which actually provides an enormous amount of employment. So there are a lot of quite gloomy Chinese workers out there at the moment, not necessarily made any happier by raising the retirement age. And this needs fixing. So to be honest, I think the market is now looking for more stimulus out of the Chinese government. And well, we saw iron ore prices jump up in the week, but I see they're just down again now. So who knows what will happen, but it is typical generally when the workers start complaining, the Chinese government usually comes through with a bit of extra cash.
Yeah, but who actually knows the truth about China and what they're doing? I don't know. So many of them over there, the government is like, I don't know what they're doing. It's a really messy system, isn't it? But there we are. I don't trust any of the figures. They say the imports and exports. If those figures are coming from the government, I wouldn't trust those at all. They're liars, John. They're liars. Well,
weirdly enough, I trust Chinese government figures more than I trust figures from many other parts of the world. I think they're very good at collecting stats.
No, I know they're brilliant. The numbers, absolutely. I know. But what I'm saying is, if you just go back to the reference point of COVID, right, in the city of was it called Yuan? Yeah, Yuan province, whatever it was.
Yeah,
a city bigger than London. This broke out. This disease we had no vaccine for, and that 4,000 deaths total. What? Oh. What are you talking about? They're absolutely nuts. Lies. They're lying, John.
You make a fair point there. We didn't believe the COVID stats. That's for sure.
Well, once you lie once, John. Once you can't just lie once in your life as a government. They lie all the time. They lie all the time. Liars. They're absolute liars. Because they're a communist regime, you know, they're a dictatorship, aren't they? So they got to, you know, they all say they love President Xi or whatever that, they wouldn't say a word against him. They can't tell the truth, not allowed to.
Justin, I'd be careful with your next Chinese takeaway, just in case.
No, the Chinese over here, there's a Chinese government, I'm not talking about Chinese people, it's the government. I mean, you know, the food is lovely and everyone's over here, but it's the government you trust, not the people. The people don't understand what's going on. They don't trust the government either, but they can't voice a dissent or argue with it because they'll be in a re-education camp. And we know what that means. You won't see them again. So you know, it's that's the way it is. You've just got to go.
We have a re-education system in the UK. I think it's called the Open University.
Yeah, yeah. It was a prison. And literally, you can get let out early over here for good, for bad behaviour. You get let out for bad behaviour now. So that's unbelievable. That's the Labour government for you.
They call it being sent down, Justin. It's been called sent down.
Yeah, sent out. Yeah, that's nuts, that was this week. People getting let out and having parties outside prisons. It comes to the point, who knows what our government is doing? I certainly don't. They're going for growth and then clamping down on everything that's related to growth. And then, what are you doing? And there's people crying and letting all the prisoners out. What? It just doesn't make any sense. Have a nice weekend, John, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.